All right, it is 9:45, so we are going to get started. My name is Margaret Hampton, and I'm with the Diocese of Boise, which includes the state of Idaho. And it's my pleasure to be the moderator for this morning's session on communicating to and through our parishes. And we have two wonderful, well-seasoned fundraisers here with us this morning from the Diocese of Fort Worth. We have Renee and, oops, I'm sorry, before I do that, I forgot the prayer. Almost forgot that. Sorry. Let me back up. Let's start with how we do all meetings with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please join me. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities. And may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Getting back to Renee Underwood. She has been serving in the area of stewardship development in the Catholic Foundation management role for the diocese since 2009. She is the Chief Development Officer, and she's also been a past member of the ICSC board. And Rachel, let me go back. Rachel has also been working in the area of fundraising and development in our multiple dioceses for 13 years. And she serves as the director of the annual giving and grants for the Diocese of Fort Worth and works with the Advancement Foundation. Welcome, and thank you so much for sharing your talent and expertise today. It's very helpful.
All right. Is it on? All right. And I'm actually going here, so you can dive in. So, we hope this will be some audience participation, and we haven't even decided who's going to cover which slide, so bear with us. But you need to know that a lot of what we're going to share is rooted in the fact that Rachel and I are here in New Orleans, and last weekend was an Accountability Sunday. This coming Sunday in our diocese is Speaker Bureau and Announcement Weekend, and then the next weekend, September 29th, will be our In-Pew Sunday. So I know all of you can think in that context, those kind of calls you're getting, do we really like each other or not at this time? And so we just thought we'd have a little levity and share a few ideas, and hopefully you'll chime in and share a few with us. So we titled it Good Cop, Bad Cop, but that makes me think of the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so this is a real-life scenario. Typically happens. This was an email received noon on Friday before commitment weekend. We never received, well, that's how I hear it. It's an email, but I hear it. We never received any information of any kind about our gold or what we're supposed to be doing this Sunday. That's short and sweet, you know. And I want to be bad cop.
Oh, okay.
But I'm good cop. So here's what I typically do. And I drop everything. And because of the tone, I would pick up the phone and call immediately because I want to help this business manager. And when I call her, I find, oh no, she's not here. She's just left for lunch. And I don't know her specific need. And so I assume everything. So I drop everything and I compose, dear Miss Dearly Beloved and Overworked Parish Business Manager, I am so sorry. I take the blame for the fact that they never received. I just left a voicemail for you. But you had left for lunch, so that's how important it was to her. I will continue to try to reach you to respond to your specific questions. But here, Renee is guessing. What all does she need? Your parish goal is, your parish participation goal is, I tracked the shipment of materials we sent to you, and it was signed for by Susie Q at 10 a.m. 3 weeks ago. I've dropped everything to compose this email for her. The link to the parish toolkit with blah, blah, blah. And here's a little bit of passive aggressive in there that we covered at the business manager meeting and the business manager newsletter and the annual appeal kickoff webinar that you probably didn't attend. And every week in the diocese e-bulletin, here's the link. And then I've also attached a PDF copy of the letter we mailed to both you and your pastor in white envelopes with big stickers on them on August 15th, a full month and a half ago, with your goals and promotion plan. Y'all get the idea. You been there? Anybody done that? Thank you so very much for your support and all that you do at your parish for the annual diocesan appeal. Most sincerely in Christ, Renee.
Did you throw off then?
No, no. So here's typically what happens. Pick up the phone, call Rachel. Can you believe, did you see that email? Da, 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 da. And we get in kind of that mode, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's nice to have a good teammate to vent to and bounce off so that we can be our brightest and best with our shiny little halos for all of our parishes. Yes.
So.
Oops.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. My bad. There we go.
Okay. So what we have here is a failure to communicate. And it's not that we're not communicating. We're communicating a million ways. But just like donors, pastors, and business managers, and parish teams, and whatever, some of the lessons we use, you know, about kill them with kindness, reflect back. If they text you, you text back. If they call, you call. Those kinds of things. But maybe there's some tips and tricks, because not everybody likes to communicate the same way. So, but we wanted to start out with a little bit of perspective. All of you have these similar issues. One of the best things I heard the last few days was we're unique, but we're not different. But we did want to share a little bit about the Diocese of Fort Worth and our structure and role, because that might help you apply, would this work for you or not.
So we have 28 counties and 1.2 million self-identified Catholics, 92 parishes, and we had 91 a couple years ago. So we're growing and building parishes, 17 Catholic schools, three of which are high schools, 8 deaneries, and we abut the Diocese of Amarillo, Lubbock, Austin, Dallas, and Oklahoma City, but we're definitely unique. And what we do at the foundation is basically all of the fundraising for the diocese. There is no stewardship and development office at the Diocese of Fort Worth. We are it. So we do the annual appeal. We also assist parishes with their capital campaigns and all of those vendor relationships. And we're beginning a diocesan capital campaign as well. We're the planned giving arm. If a parish has a major gift come in or a type of planned gift, we're that resource. What do I do about a stock gift? Send them our way. And we give them all the paperwork and keep track of all of that for them. I will add that we manage the endowments for parishes as well. Our annual appeal is not required. You don't have to meet goal. You're not penalized if you don't meet goal. And we don't do rebates either with our annual appeal. So it's pure charity and stewardship. And for the priests, it's like there's nothing in it for them except just the ministry of stewardship and giving back to the diocese.
However, there's an extensive parish grant and school grant component of the annual appeal.
So our audiences when it comes to communication, of course, is our pastors. After so many years in this position, I realize my pastors are my fundraisers. They're the ones speaking at the pulpit to all of the parishioners. And so it's, we might think we have a small staff, but when we take into consideration all of the priests who are out in the parishes, we're very blessed. We have a lot of people helping us raise money. And then our parish staff is so different, so unique. You've got the little parishes where it's one person doing everything. And then in our larger parishes, there's four people on their communications team who are putting out the bulletin and the website. And so we need to communicate with, you know, Sally on the website, but Susie on the bulletin. And acknowledging and knowing their roles is great for building the relationship. Instead of a blanket, dear communications team, it's, hey, Sally, I know you're in charge of the website, so here are the digital materials that you need. I'm not going to ship her the bulletin inserts. She wouldn't, that's not her position, and I know that. And then, of course, volunteers are incredibly helpful, and they really, I was in a session where it said, know the influencers, and as a millennial, that definitely sparked me. It's like, yeah, who are those influencers in the parishes? Because they're the people who are probably talking to everyone. They're the people probably sharing the gossip of what's going on. Did you see this? And I want to be sure they're talking about the appeal, especially in a positive way, and really know what they're saying. And then, of course, the ultimate goal is the Catholic faithful of the diocese. There are the people who we really want to speak to and bring on this stewardship journey. It's, I think, a very large responsibility of ours to get all of our Catholic faithful into heaven. And a part of that is a life of stewardship. And only with, you know, the pastors and the staff and the volunteers all working together with us can we build up this body of Christ.
So we're going to break it down by communications to each of those audience, keeping in mind we're dependent on those first three to get to the full Catholic faithful in our diocese. But for us, pastor relationships are critical, and we know it's not one size fit all. We do the large things like presbyteral assemblies, and then the next smaller meetings at deanery meetings where sometimes they can get real and brutal with us that they wouldn't at a presbyteral assembly. But then the best situation is in the parish, in their office, times where we get a really, what's going on in your parish, Father? Get to know them. A lot of this is that institutional knowledge you bring. So just a few tips that I've gleaned for in pastor relationships. Because we have that unique relationship where we, all capital campaigns in parishes are run through the Advancement Foundation, whether or not they hire a third-party consultant or use us for all those other resources. When you work with a pastor on his capital campaign and go to their cabinet meetings and help with major donors and help them meet their goal, that's my number one tip. So I hope you have that good fortune to do that. You get to know them in the weeds. And you also have opportunity to say, oh, Father, we've done so great on your capital campaign. I'd really like to see your parish participation in the appeal go up. Second best way that I've discovered in my years in Fort Worth, develop your relationship with your future priests and pastors. Get to know them while they're seminarians. And we are fortunate that one of our annual funds is the St. John Paul II Shepherd's Guild. We're with our seminarians on a regular basis. Some of us are involved in Sarah Club and other events where we're with the seminarians and in conversation. And then, of course, once he's ordained and he's assigned to a parish, even as a parochial vicar, we have separate meetings just to go see them, to orient them about the foundation and how we can help and those kind of things. But again, like I said before, visit them on site, get to know their unique needs in their communities. And certainly, and Rachel can speak to this because she's usually the good cop awarding the parish operating grants. But when they receive operating grants for their parishes or schools, that's a very helpful thing. And probably the biggest thing is when he suggests a way that you can make his life easier, respond. You know, I mean, sometimes we go to deanery meetings and we leave there and we go, I feel like the messenger who got killed, you know, because there's, they say, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this, change that. But if you just leave there with your head down and don't respond and in a meaningful way, that's not good. So they love it when we respond. I noticed Father Joseph Moreno in his first talk said, thank you for that
parish manual
this year. Yeah. So
I would also add that when I'm in a room with a priest, like at a gala or an event, they come up to me and all they want to talk about is money. Oh, hey, about the appeal. Oh, my capital campaign. And I get it, but as a person, you know, there's more to me than money. And I think our priests are also more than that, too. So when we see them, it doesn't have to be about that money issue thing. Renee's great on sending cards for birthdays and ordination anniversaries and seeing them as that vocation as a priest and clergy instead of just my fundraiser at the parish is going to help me with the appeal. So I would add that too. The relationship is definitely more than our professions here.
Yeah, be present at their events when you can. Go to the Chrism Mass. You know, they all duck out early afterwards, but, you know, they at least they saw you were there. Any kind of event you can do like that is very helpful. You want to do staff?
Sure. I love my parish staff. And when we do have, you know, the presbyteral meetings or the deaneries, we're speaking to the pastors, and I just assume nothing is going to go back to the parish. They're talking about so much more than what our little portion was. So I'm going to echo what we said there to the parish business manager as well. And it's exhausting to say it over 92 different times, you know, to different parishes, but we have to. We absolutely have to. And we communicate how they communicate. If they email, we email back. If they call, we call. We do put out a quarterly front and back newsletter with just like business manager information, just very cut and dry. They're going to ask about the special collection. Here's the information. They can copy and paste it, put it in their bulletin, making it as easy as possible for them. And then key lay leaders as well, just making things so, so, so easy for them. And it's tempting to do, you know, a blanket email of dear all. And we do that. We do. But on those really special ones who need that individual attention, it goes a very long way if you can reach out individually. Yes, Margaret.
Rachel, on your newsletter, do you email that to them, or do you give links, or do you actually put like your special collections? Do you put the schedule in there?
So it's quarterly, so we'll just mention the special collections for the next 3 months that they would need to know about. And yes, we do email it. It's on our website. Our communications department at the diocese is fabulous. They're great. Our magazine is award-winning 2 years in a row, so they're really, really great. And they have an e-bulletin, which is a weekly web page that all departments can put information on. And it's, yes, you get a link, and it clicks to where you need to go, very interactive. And we express at the parish business manager meetings, which are twice a year, we say, here's the best way to get the best information. Like before you think that you have to email me, which of course I will respond, visit the website because the e-bulletin is up to date, I promise. And then visit our website to find the archive of all of the newsletters. Maybe it was mentioned in there. You know, just before you pick up the phone, consider that. But we will answer, of course, if you do.
Yeah. I think part of the reason we said don't forget the key lay leaders, we're fortunate in some parishes that the pastor and the business manager, they've delegated to a lay individual who's like the captain for the annual appeal, and he has big ownership in it. Just yesterday, he was contacting Rachel and I to make us aware that the diocese has sent out a letter and they thought they had to insert it in the bulletin and read it from the pulpit this weekend when we have that already have a letter from the bishop. And it's great to have that kind of dialogue and relationship with people that they're not afraid to be your partner in this. And so obviously they are part of the people that we ultimately want to reach. They're usually great supporters of the various programs, campaigns that we have, but they have their heart in it, and sometimes their response to receiving information from us is a little better than an overworked business manager. Here's that crossroads, if you want to talk about it, Rachel.
Yes, so that newsletter up there in the top, like very text-heavy, not, you know, not all of the pictures and kinds of things you would see in a...
And our rule, front and back of an 8.5 by 11, no more.
And I love that because I can print it on my, you know, printer in the office and take it with me if I'm going to a parish. So it's simple and it's not, oh, I needed to call our major printer to get this out there. It's let me run this and leave something behind when I visit with the parish. And so we do have that business manager meeting. This crossroads is quarterly. Our e-bulletin I spoke about. Loving all of the ideas here from so many of your dioceses where you have these webinars and archives of trainings on your site. So I'm going to take some of that home. We have some, but New Orleans in their 7 video series, I thought that was brilliant. And then, of course, anything. So this QR code should take you to our annual appeal toolkit for this year. So you can scan it and then, you know, send yourself the URL that pops up in an email. And so our annual appeal begins in September, but our first webinar to kick it off is at the beginning of August because everybody goes out of town in July at the parishes. So we do it as early as we can. And this toolkit is up in August. We already have the theme. We have all of the digital materials. We have, like, everything in English, Spanish, and Vietnamese, and it's broken down. The parish manual is up there. All of it. You'll see. And just having that as a place to send people instead of, well, let me send you this as an attachment. It's here it is.
And so that's the annual appeal one, but we also have one that has stewardship resources, you know, where they just go into this box file, and it's easy for us because the links on our website never change, but the content in the boxes do, and we go in the back end, pull things in and out. We have another one. Parishes that are about to embark on a capital campaign, and it has sample prayer cards, sample FAQs, sample pledge, you know, commitment forms, letters from the pastor, logo designs, themes, and they love playing in that sandbox just to get some their creative juices going as their teams are developing what they're going to do. And then we're going to steal this idea from Austin, but our next big parish resource toolbox will be a planned giving toolkit. We already have a lot of these resources available, but we don't have them in one simple, easy to go to place. So it, well, after we launch the appeal, we're going to do that, Dan. Yes. It's on Box. It's, you know, like Dropbox, or we use Box, but it's, you press buttons on our website to get to the Box. Once you hit
Parish
Annual
resources.
Appeal Resources, you've moved into their environment.
And I also have special collections on there as well.
Yeah.
Other tools include this parish manual here that Father Moreno talked about in his talk, which I should have brought some samples. I'm sorry. And it's on the box. And it just says, like, commitment weekend. Here's your pulpit announcement. Here's your intercession. Here's the social media page. I have all of I have all the social media and bulletin ads created for the whole year until June 2025. They are there. You can schedule them. Like, get it out of your hair. We also have a planned giving website, endowment tools, and when we're sending these annual appeal envelopes and bulletin inserts, we have it as a huge fall shipment that also includes planned giving materials to refill their brochures. It includes stewardship materials, Catholic giving guides. So we know they're going to be looking for that, but we also know they need, you know, the annual appeal thing. So it's just one big shipment. Nothing gets lost or put in the custodian's closet because they're looking for it. However, love the idea from another diocese here who includes, like, chocolates and things in that shipment. So they definitely
Well, not chocolates.
The
they might melt.
Exactly.
But
open
so
it. Open it.
Our next year, we're going to put notepads and pens and chips and cookies. I thought that was a great idea. So we'll talk more about the Aging with Grace, but just another tool that we've implemented in the last year and a half, and it's been very successful, is a quarterly Aging with Grace workshop, typically on a Saturday all day. It's been really good for us, and starting the communication about planned giving, but also gets us out and about the diocese, working with pastors and parish teams in pulling those events off. And then I know a lot of you are familiar with Pringer's parish social media. Our diocese communications department has contracted with Pringer, and so Rachel and I are all excited because we'll do all kinds of content for the parishes to choose from. It's like, when are they getting trained? Because we want to have all our materials deployed that way as well.
I will add, kind of going through that, Renee and I don't work 40 hours a week. We work a lot, and it takes a lot. So maybe if you're really small, you cannot do all of this, but pick, you know, what will work the best for you. But it takes a lot of work to say the same thing in different ways over and over again. I definitely acknowledge that.
So kind of just some general thoughts. And some of these we've already said, but obviously even when they're stressed and even when on the phone, they don't answer in good stewardship, respond back in kindness. While you may echo the way they sent you text to text, phone to phone, email to email, if they're not kind, be kind, even if you don't feel like it. You know, I always said, lead with the attitude that you really want to have. And so be the good cop when you can. We'll do the bad cop off the side. But even then, we stop, we pray, we walk a mile in their shoes. Wouldn't you agree? Again, handling a parish's capital campaign forges strong relationships. Probably those of you in diocesan campaigns are in that mode. However, so many of those are farmed out and the relationship goes to a third party, and you who are there don't get that relationship. But any opportunity you have to be a hero. Speaking of hero, when you help a business manager or a pastor or a school principal or whatever with something that in their world is very complicated, like, we just got a notification of a bequest, or I have this donor who's interested in an endowment for my school, or sometimes it's even employer matching. I can't fill out the form for the employer matching because I get to this point and I can't answer the questions. Be a hero when you can. Handle those complicated gifts. We do charge a fee for that service, but it matters. And those are major gift opportunities. And then back to, as Rachel said, always, how can I make it easier for you? Always be in that mode. Always think of that easy button commercial. We like our vendors and suppliers to make things easier for us, not to add to our work. Our parishes and our pastors are no different. And then we already talked about free stuff. Doesn't hurt.
So when it comes to that beautiful thermometer poster with the appeal, and we send that out and ask them, hey, be sure you fill out your, keep your thermometer up to date. They weren't doing that because the reports were too complicated. They couldn't figure out what to look for. So we, I got an idea from another diocese, and created a Blackbaud dashboard, so that all they need to do is open up their Blackbaud, go to the report tab, and this pops up and shows them, here is your goal. We had to custom make this with some really smart people, and it made their job really easy. It makes my job easy too. If they do still call and say, I don't know my goal, I don't know where we are, I can simply find this dashboard as well.
Or you can teach them how to open the dashboard and look at it. Because the one thing about this, it's real time. As our gift processing team has entered a gift and that made the donor count go up, and it was one person less an hour ago, it's great. It's not that those static reports. Plus, as you scroll down on that page, there are, I mean, they literally can get the list of who those people are, the amounts. If they want to do thank you files, they can export them too.
Yeah. They know their donors. So, oh, did Rachel's family give this year? Well, just scroll down and there's a list of everyone who gave. Unless it's anonymous, we were able to get that filtered. Another great way to communicate is this idea we took from Austin, a parish report card on their annual appeal. We begin our annual appeal with a pastor letter. So the letter comes from the pastor because they told us we don't want to talk about the appeal all year. We'll talk about it on the weekends. You can do the first letter under the pastor's name, and then we're not going to talk about it. And we said, okay. So we do the pastor letter, but this year I was so happy to, how do I work the laser? I don't know. Send the pastor letter, and right here it says first request pastor letter 23. So in that email to the pastor, I said, look, Father, there were 23 of your donors who replied just to you because of this letter. It made a big impact. Please approve this draft or revise it. And that was great because I had the data behind it to show how the effort on their part and ours made a big impact. And so that's just another way to over-communicate. This was really hard to do this year, but now that it's done, I think it'll be easy to kind of fill in. It's a lot of merging and pulling from documents, but very helpful.
And so when we mailed their goals letters, a copy of their individual report was also available to them, although Rachel had previously already sent it to each of them via email, but they had a hard copy in case they never opened the PDF in the email and had bothered to read it by that point.
And also, when we have our in-pew envelopes, which are so expensive, and we don't get them all back, I was able to say, here you see there were 250 mailed to this parish, and we got 63 back, which hopefully somebody used a QR code or something. But I said, we're not sending you any more than 250, even if, you know, your count has gone up, because we're not getting them back. So if you want more, please prove to me that we're going to get more back, because that's the most expensive element of our appeal. And we were at a very tough deanery meeting with some of our wealthiest parishes, and we were told...
Who used terms like donor fatigue?
Yeah, we don't believe in that. And they said, we're tired of asking for money from the diocese. We were talking about the appeal, and then I started talking about a seminarian fund, and they said, we don't want to do that. A priest said he didn't want to help support the seminarian fund. And so I said, well, what can we do? How can we make maybe the appeal go easier for you so you don't have such fatigue? And he said, you come and talk at my parish about the annual appeal instead of me talking about it. So we said, okay. And Renee will be speaking at that pastor's parish this weekend.
This weekend.
It was her home parish. And so we've got a handful of speakers going out. Not all pastors wanted one this year. And I'm so excited to see how this goes. We've also, do you want to talk about the Stewardship Sunday?
So another thing we had implemented, we thought it was a great idea, probably got it from a lot of you at an ICSC, and we said, oh, we need a diocesan-wide Stewardship Sunday, and they can do their ministry fairs then, and, you know, all the tie the readings and everything, and it was a miserable failure. Because it came in the fall, right after the appeal, and they're going, you never give us a break that's not ours. And we might not want to do our ministry fair or our recommitment in the fall. And so when we made the choice, it would have been this October, and this is the first year we're not doing that. But when we let them know we weren't doing it, we still have resources available for them to assist them with their ministry fairs and recommitments. But we said we did this because you asked us. And anytime we make a change, we use the terminology, we heard you, or thanks to you for suggesting this idea. Another thing, this is always ongoing. We get a lot of flack about the second collections or special collections and the number, and we continually stay on top, hearing them, communicating that back up to the bishop. They were throwing them in at dates that weren't strategically good dates, and another one that tried to throw one in October, the week after the appeal, and it's like, no. And so, but that's a work in progress, maybe for you guys too. And then just general communications that is directly to the lay faithful, things that we do. We have a bi-monthly foundation newsletter. Rachel creates it in Canva. We've typically only deployed it the same way we do with Crossroads, email, and then the donors can click and open. But we got an idea here. I can't remember which session, and we said we're going to at least select an issue of Crossroads and mail it to key donors because there's a lot of really good content in it. It always has planned giving content, things like that. We contract with Stelter, as does the Diocese of Austin, and we do an age-segmented planned giving. That's e-newsletter on a quarterly basis. And then our award-winning magazine, you might want to talk about some of the things we do in that.
Because the annual appeal funds so much of the diocese, when you open the magazine, it's the donor's charity in story, and it's beautiful. And so our editor will send us a preview of the magazine, and we can say, you know, that was funded by the appeal. That was funded by the appeal. And having those comments in the article as people are reading so they know, wow, this is an amazing story about a campus ministry. And as a donor, I impacted this campus ministry. So having that great relationship with the communications team is beautiful. We work with them. This new issue that just came out, articles about the appeal. And so they let us pre-read those. That way we know we're being transparent and honest about where the money went.
Well, and we also suggested to them parishes and ministries to interview for that issue, ones that were receiving operating grants from the annual appeal. And that helped tell our story. Social media, we have our own social media, just like most of you, but the diocesan social media for the Diocese of Fort Worth is far bigger than the Advancement Foundation. So we all kind of cross-pollinate a little bit. Nobody's following as big as our own bishops, who he does Twitter and pretty much only Twitter or X. And so we all, you know, tag each other. Just a tip, if you're not already doing it, like, follow every single parish, ministry, school, because then you know what's going on out there in their world. Sometimes you can chime in and give an attaboy. They know you. And then they'll go, oh, wait, the Advancement Foundation. I didn't know the Advancement Foundation had one. And suddenly they're liking us. And that's real helpful when you do that in your post. And again, when we move to this Catholic social media through the Pringer Solution Group, that's going to go crazy. And then these are simple things, but all our email signatures, I don't know about you, if y'all use Outlook, I have a library. I can respond with the I Give Catholic email signature or with the planned giving or CGA's lowest rates in 16 years. I just drop and pick and choose and vary what I'm sending. Right now it's obviously annual appeal time. So little simple things you can do like that. Because keep in mind, yes, you are emailing donors a lot, but many of these parish teams and parish pastors, they're your donors too. And they need to be aware of these things. You can do it.
Okay. Like I kind of mentioned, the special events and the priest talking to you during that, but also just listening to donors. Not every event is a fundraiser, believe it or not. And so, of course, we've held small group listening sessions at the Fort Worth Club, which is kind of like a fancy place downtown. Huge, huge response from our Light of Christ Parish Stewardship Awards. Those are... pastors are asked to nominate the best steward in their parish each year, so it's a different person. And so they're given a certificate signed by the bishop and acknowledged in front of the entire deanery this last year. And of course, a lot of those people are major donors, because, you know, where you give, your treasure lies or that thing. So they're volunteers, but they're also, donors. So this year we added the grant award presentation for the appeals. And so we had a room full of major donors and, a handful of parishes who received grants. We were able to present the grant. They were so gracious. St. George.
Well, they were surprised. Explain why they were surprised.
We didn't tell them the amount of the grant until they got there. So they didn't, they knew they got a grant. They didn't know if it was $500 or $65,000. And so Deacon from St. George got up and he said, I have to say, when I heard that six at the beginning, I thought, no way. It was a $65,000 grant. And he said, this has been a St. George kind of year. One thing breaks, we fix it, something else breaks, and it was beautiful. It was like perfect. I thought, yes, and it was in one of the wealthier deaneries, so it's like, yay, this group of influencers heard straight from him, and all we had to do was invite him to pick up his certificate for his grant.
And strategically, she had photographers and the diocesan videographer. So some of our appeal videos were interviewed right there at the Light of Christ presentations.
Yes. And the Light of Christ recipients also felt very appreciated. And I also think they felt, especially in the smaller deaneries, they were happy to see there were other people like them in the rural areas. Sometimes when you're in those small towns, like I've lived in for a while, you think, we're the only ones, you know, taking care of the church. And then to know that the other towns also have similar stewards was very impactful. So we're going to do that again, and we're going to do it bigger and better for the next year, too. Like Renee mentioned, we have a mass and a brunch with the seminarians for our seminary fund. Again, it's not a fundraising event. We don't have cards on the table and ask you for money. If you're a member, you're invited, and you're invited to bring somebody also who might want to be a member. But it's just a time to meet the seminarians and be with Bishop. And then our Aging with Grace workshops are amazing. I highly recommend
You'll those. Find more about those on our website.
And then we are always trying to sponsor and get our name and brand and get in the room to some areas like Red Mass and galas, a Catholic Bowl, and our Young Catholic Professionals, of course.
So is it working? Are we getting good feedback? It's not all negative like the "you never told me" emails. We know when it's working when some of our toughest pastors and business managers say good things about us. And Mark Mastey, among all our business managers, is a prince. He's up in Flower Mound, and he makes us better. He challenges us. If we're going to deploy like those new Insight Designer reports, we say, Mark, we're going to build it for your parish first, and you look at it and cuss and discuss. But he did this wonderful, wonderful testimonial that we used. We're now about to go into campaign 3 for them because they are just a booming and growing parish, but that matters. And this one I'm super proud of. You want to talk about a crusty old Franciscan who make you squirm in your seats kind of pastor, and I mean, he could cut you off at the knees, you know, if you weren't doing something, and sometimes an all-cap email. But honestly, that whole relationship, they had worked with third-party consultants on 2 prior campaigns, so they knew the drill of what someone else would do. And he was insistent, I do not want our campaign handled by outsiders from outside our diocese. I want our parish to do it, and I want to run it through the Advancement Foundation. And this was pretty tough because their campaign was $14.5 million. And you know how many other hats we're wearing. And I didn't even go to this parish. But he sent this testimonial after it was all said and done and we'd hit goal and we're celebrating. I said, Father Jim, is there any way you could give me a written testimonial about the kind of work we're doing? Because we're still trying to have parishes and schools understand our brand and what we do in support for them. And he wrote this, and he retired, June 30th of this year, and he's gone on. But those are the things that we treasure and that we work for. It's like sometimes you go, am I making a difference? Is it all worth it? So it truly is. So if we got a couple of minutes here, we want to know what's working for you. Maybe some ideas we haven't shared.
Well, first, I want to tell you before an idea, I actually work with Father Jim, and I was one of those consulting with one of the consulting companies that he worked with, and that is a tough man.
He is, very.
So congratulations on that, because that is something.
Yeah.
I got your most recent Fort Worth magazine. I'm from Shreveport. And I want to say one thing I did like, and we start our campaign in February, is that how you had the four center pages, and you could almost pull it out like
an
annual report. And I thought that was just so, it was wonderful.
So it's cheaper to use them when they're mailing 92,000 than us to mail it. And so Rachel created our accountability report for the year. We had it on PDF, and it was on our website, but the print product of it is the four pages, and it's a little heavier paper, and that was by design. We've done that, something like that, for a couple of years now, haven't we? But this time we chose to make it a little more editorial story in keeping, it has statistics and stuff, but so far so good.
Definitely using holy plagiarism on that.
That's what we're about. The best ideas are shared. Other great ideas y'all are incorporating. I know you have them. You just all want to go pack up, check out, and get on your planes.
So do we.
So these slides are not loaded yet on the Whova app, mainly because we were still building them until the wee hours of last night. But we will get them converted to PDF, load them on the Whova app. But just remember, Rachel and me, we love to share ideas. We got great ideas from you. And if you want to know a little more about something, always feel free to reach out to us. Our website's advancementfoundation.org. That's pretty easy to understand. And you'll find everything there. It'll get you all the different places. So.
Oh, I was just going to echo. Well, one, they really do share all the materials. So I've changed our appeal, and Renee was a huge help. But you had said something about, you know, responding and listening and going to the deanery meetings, and sometimes they're really painful. But if you make the smallest change, like, so even if it's one of our business managers told our bulletin was mad because it was always in PDF or something, could we have it not in Word and all the different things? So now that's what we do for all the inserts, is it comes in four different versions, which is, I mean, it wasn't an easy task, but doing that, and then they're like, oh my gosh, you made one change that I suggested, and it's made all the difference for our parishes and our harder pastors that we have to work with. So it really is a good idea, just the smallest thing sometimes.
Thank you, Jamie. Oh, Shannon?
Yeah, I'll just add one thing, and y'all do such a great job. Thank you so much for sharing. One thing you said early in the presentation is how important it is to communicate with your pastors and their, you know, staff all the way down. So I do that, and I have made a very conscious effort of trying to keep, like, pastor, the email that's like, you know, at mobarch.org, and then also his Gmail account or whatever he actually checks.
Uh-huh.
So, and then the administrative staff email. So I have like three or four columns, you know, for, you know, contacting the parish. But when I send out a message to them, I send it out as an email merge, so it looks like it came directly from me, and I fill in the columns with all of the correct, you know, Father Steve or Father whatever I would call them, you know, or if it's more, you know, formal with that pastor, it's how you know him. That way when they get that email, it literally looks like it came directly from me personally, yet I sent out about 200 emails all at one time.
I'm going to contact you about that.
I can.
You'll have to teach me how to do that.
Not only does that, is it look like that, but in my Outlook, I have the email that I sent them directly from me. So when they call and say they didn't get it, I just forward it back to them, and it has the date stamp.
Yeah. Oh, I love forwarding something that was sent to them a month, 2 months ago. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry you missed this. I know we all get lots of emails, but it shows time stamped and that I sent it directly to them.
Well, another tip, I know y'all probably do this. I have my cell phone on everything. And so if a pastor ever calls me on my cell phone from his phone, gotcha, save the contact. You know, it's not necessarily on all the rosters, and in a few years before you know it, you have the cell phones of every priest and every business manager in your diocese. So, all right, we don't want to keep you. Hope you had a great conference. Hope you'll be back next year, and let's talk in between. God bless.